Welcome back, golf enthusiasts. We are finally back into 2021 after a slight holiday break, a little bit of a COVID scare with the group, but we are officially back to kick it off, and we're going to lead off with talking about the Century that was played at Kapalua, and then we're going to get into what's in the bag. Season two. Ooh, that's nice. Season two. That's not nice. Season two. All right. Ready? All right. I think we're ready.
Do it.
Yep. Hey, I'm William Starcevich, and I'm joined today by the usual characters.
Travis White, Chris Lewis.
All right. So the Century Championship at Kapalua is actually called the Tournament of Champions, right? So it basically every year, anybody who wins a PGA event throughout the season gets an invite. This year was a little bit different because of the COVID. So there was a group of, I want to say it was 30, the top 30 in the FedEx actually got an invite to come. And that enabled Harrison English to actually win. He hadn't won in,
it's been a while.
Yeah, like 7 years or something. But he got in on that qualification and then won. Now, some people were talking about how great it was that these guys got an opportunity to play in it, and some were hating on it,
yeah.
Like because it's the Tournament of Champions.
Right.
So that, and I kind of agree with it.
Right.
You know, it's another reward for winning an event because it's so hard to do.
Well, that, but they didn't have nearly.
Right. So they
they're adjusting to COVID just like everybody else.
Right. Right. But there was a lot of talk about, hey, are we going to continue this going forward? It's the winners plus if whoever's not a winner but in the top 30 of the FedEx.
Right. Well, and the other part of this proves the point that on any given day or any given week, yeah, nobody can go out and win.
Right.
Your butt hurt because this guy got in because of this, and then he wins. Well, what did you do?
Yeah, up your game.
Yeah, seriously. Play better.
Play better. That's one of the big things about that sets golf aside from some of the other sports.
Right.
You know, they're on a year-to-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in that top 25 guys,
right,
you know, unless you win, and then you win, that only gives you 2 years,
right,
a 2-year exemption, depending on what event you won.
Right.
You know, if you won the U.S. Open or the Masters, or that gives you a 10-year exempt. That's huge for those guys.
Right.
They get to set their schedule. They don't have to plan everything. You know, some game, like there was an article that was talking about some guys are forced to play in events that they know they're not going to do well in just because they're trying to earn points/dollar bills to qualify in the top 125 for next year.
Right.
But anyway, did you watch much of the?
I didn't get to watch much of it. I mean, I saw the highlights as I always do during, don't get into it until we get, right. Masters is when I start watching golf.
Which we're actually not all that far away, man.
Not far away.
We'll be doing another Masters special.
Mm-hmm.
So, Travis, I know you watched a little bit too. You didn't get to see the final round.
No, I missed the final round.
So, it came down to a playoff.
Yep, between Harris English and, how do you pronounce
his name?
Joaquin.
Not Jokinawa or whatever you said.
Did you just pronounce it? I think I said Joe Quinn.
Joe Quinn. Hey, he's from Iowa. What are you going to do? So, Joaquin actually, the final day, I think
nine under to get in the playoff.
And I don't remember what Harrison shot on the final day, but when they got to the playoff,
mm-hmm,
what they do is they go back to the tee on 18,
right,
which is, as we know yesterday, is a 144-foot drop from the tees.
Jeez.
Down to the green. And I want to say they were playing it at over 660 yards.
I did see that it was 660 on the last day.
And so in, we played it here at the ever-evolving Playing Through Golf Studio yesterday on the Skytrack, and we played it from 560, and I'll go ahead and say
that
none of us got there in two.
Yeah. No, it was not
pretty good. No, so but when Joaquin hit it, he bombed his drive out there like he'd been doing all day, and then he came up short on his approach shot going for the green, and he was lucky that it cleared the hazard. It was in the rough. and he was able to chip it up, but Harrison was basically on, rolled it down, and then basically two-putted for a birdie,
yeah.
Where, you know, it wasn't...
Isn't it just disgusting, though, that they're hitting a second shot in there on a 660 hole?
Well, earlier in the week, Bryson hit an 8-iron into that hole.
Yeah.
But he
said he was hitting his 8-iron
over 200. Yeah, over 200. That one, you know, it's downhill.
Yeah.
But still, that means you had to hit your driver over four bills, man.
Yeah,
right? Like, it was playing 660. And, you know, I don't care if you're hitting your 8-iron 200 yards. You,
660, I'm still hitting five shots.
To get yeah, right. Yeah, I'm definitely hitting off to the right. Well, you guys ought to... I started it way right yesterday, and I just wasn't even playing for money.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of that, what did you guys think about it from, you know, what was the finisher at? The
25 under.
25 under,
mm-hmm.
And they played it 1,000 yards longer than what we played it yesterday.
Right. So, by 50 strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, that was their 4-day total, but yeah. So think about that. I mean, they're averaging then, you know, 5 or 6 under a day. A day on that course, and we played it 1,000 yards shorter.
And I shot a 93.
Right, so think about some of those shots in. Like, we were like, all right, where do you hit it here? Where do you hit it there? And there was all this slope from 1,000 yards closer.
Right.
And
of course, we're playing it, not seeing what they're seeing. I mean, we've got a screen and everything, but it doesn't do it all the judge. Because we were, like, there was the shot of Travis's where he was trying to hit up a hill, and we couldn't figure out why he couldn't get it up.
Right. Yeah, kept hitting in the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have the trade winds too, and they typically set it up for the trade winds. That's why the finishing hole is 660.
Yeah.
It's downhill, but you typically have the trade wind helping too.
Right.
So we had it set at zero wind, but
that's
why another reason those guys are hitting at 400 plus they're,
right.
I don't know, this just in, they're good.
Yeah.
You know,
well, didn't Bryson hit a 413 drive?
Yeah. Well, that's the one that DJ on number 12. He'd driven that green several times.
Is that the one that he almost pulled out a few years ago?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
The year, I want to say the year he won.
Yeah.
So in the top 10, there was some big names.
Yeah, Justin Thomas finished third.
Yeah,
24 under. Mm-hmm. Ryan Palmer, Xander Schauffele.
Ryan Palmer, I don't think he hadn't won. I think he was in on that exemption too.
Yep.
A little bit of an older guy, but he played really, really well.
DeChambeau. John Rahm and Morikawa tied for
7. Morikawa, good for him.
Yeah, 20, they were all 20 under.
Good for him. So
he's starting to kind of show himself.
Yeah, right? Like, and the more times he sees these courses,
mm-hmm.
The better
he's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, JT had won. I don't think, did JT win it last year or the year before?
The year before.
JT is, he's very familiar with that course. He usually plays really well there. Well, this year, he missed a makeable putt, and Hot Mike caught him using a little bit of a disparaging mark. How do you want to verb? It wasn't good.
It was not good what he said.
And as a matter of fact, he lost one of his sponsorships from it.
Right.
And you know, I don't think that he. It's hard to say what he believes, how he thinks about other people, but. Hot mics are hot mics.
Yeah, well, the other thing is the term that he used is a term that traditionally, I mean, it's right or wrong, kids use it, that, you know, not as a slight against a particular community, but what you call yourself. You know? And so it's like, well, I mean, my classic is I'm just fat. You know, like if I hit a shot, that's fat. You know, but he uses another F word.
Yeah.
In a different, you know, and the context is, you know, is just not... Right there.
Well, I mean, you guys have told me, you guys have heard me call myself, you know, what you may call a kitten,
mm-hmm.
you know, a cat. Like, I've told myself that a lot, right?
Yeah.
When I come up short, I'm like, so it was unfortunate, again, that the hot mic got him.
Right.
I'm sure he'll come back from it. He was a young kid and everything.
I think he did a good job of apologizing.
Right away.
He owned it right away.
And there was a lot of talk. You remember he was one of the hosts when they had the event with Tiger and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Phil. And they were talking of careers over. He will definitely be in a booth.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is great. Now, I think he's got a long, long playing career.
He'll be playing for a while.
Yeah.
But the fact that he got caught up in that, that sucks. Because remember, it was several years ago on the Golf Channel when one of their broadcasters used the term, I'm sure some of these guys would like to lynch Tiger.
Right.
And she didn't mean it that way. But it's just that he was so much better than all of them, and she said that, and that was, like, huge.
Well, look, go back even farther. Go Fuzzy Zeller. Talking about Tiger. And
yeah, except the difference is, I think Fuzzy Zeller meant that shit.
Yeah, I think he meant that.
Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Come on. Mm-hmm. So I was so happy that golf is back. It was a little unfortunate for JT.
Right.
It was good to watch. There was just a little bit of drama with it because of JT's comments. Some of the guys not thinking that those non-champions should have been in, even though this was a different year.
Yeah, right.
Like, otherwise you would have had a field of, what, 12?
Right.
Right? Like, right? So, yeah, bring in those other guys.
Well, it wouldn't even be 12 because DJ won a couple times.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
10 guys will play.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I think he'll recover from it. I mean, the fact that he owned it right off the bat, I think, is huge for him. You know, he'll lose a few sponsors. Who hasn't lost a sponsor?
Oh, yeah.
Tiger lost how many sponsors after his fiasco?
Yeah. No, he had to give his cars back.
Yeah.
I mean, Buick's out, bro.
You know, and, you know, it's just a matter of time or he has a major victory. I think all will be forgotten.
I think so, too.
I think the fact that he owned it, if he had tried to avoid it and say, oh, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, things like that, or tried to poo-poo it, they'd hang him, you know, big time. But this is,
yeah.
This is the case where he owned it.
Now, you know, back in the day, the broadcasters wouldn't have even brought it up to him.
Right.
But, you know, you saw the interview at the end. He's standing there, and they brought it up to him right then. I don't know. I'm assuming that he gave them the go-ahead for that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, like they ask first before they're like, hey, we're going to bring this up. Is that cool?
Yeah.
It's not like they're trying to, you know, guerrilla tactic him, you know.
Sure.
Somebody brought it up to him for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was great to have golf back. You know, it was really cool for us to be able to play that course here.
Mm-hmm.
Where yes, Travis won by one.
Yeah.
Chris, in his defense, he broke out new golf clubs. We hadn't been able to play for a couple weeks because of our COVID scare. So
I really didn't get sick.
Well.
Can you taste yet?
Oh, a little bit.
Okay, perfect.
Okay,
so. Here, put this in your mouth. Tell me what it tastes like. Yeah, right. So that's going to take us into the next thing here. Going into this season, Chris just got some new clubs. Travis has had new clubs for less than a full season.
Yes.
Like, I think it was the end of this year. So, and then my set is basically where it's going to be. But I kind of wanted to get into what you guys are playing. So, Travis, you want to start? Like, tell them from, let's go driver down, kind of just briefly describe your bag.
My driver, I was TaylorMade Sim Max, my driver 3-wood.
Do you actually use the driver?
Well, not in here.
Not very often.
Very often.
Well, Travis is 6'6", so
yeah.
Unless I put a skylight in, he's...
I just bought a... Gapper.
Yep, Gapper. That hasn't come in yet. A Gapper 3. Or the mid, which is a little bit more of an iron shape. There's the low, which is definitely an iron. And then there's the high, which is almost a utility club hybrid look.
I bought the mid. And then I have my 4 hybrid. It's an TaylorMade M2 hybrid.
Yeah, okay, so we're into... I want to say there's at least 5 head covers over there so far.
Not.
Okay.
My name is Charlie. My hybrid M2, and then 6 iron down to my A wedge, which I'm in Sims. And then I have a 58 and a 54 degree new TaylorMade wedge.
So, and then I think you have an Odyssey putter, right?
Odyssey whiteout putter.
Okay, so you are TaylorMade pretty much top to bottom.
The whole nine.
Right? Okay, so, and I know you got those, you know, towards the tail end of the season last year.
Yeah.
And I know you were playing TaylorMade before, too, but they were
10 years old.
So,
yeah, I bought them off eBay for like $200.
Nice. So what did you, your first take on those so far this, for this last 6 months?
I really like the feel of them. Now when I hit a golf ball with my old set, my hands would rattle and whatnot.
If you didn't hit them square.
These ones, if I miss it a little bit, and it's not.
And they still go forever.
Yeah,
like your 8-iron is.
I think yesterday it was in the 170.
Right, and your 6-iron is over 200 yards. So they are long.
They are.
Especially, you're a longer hitter anyway, but even compared to your other irons, these are longer.
My old set, I probably couldn't even hit a 6-iron 180 yards.
Okay.
Now I'm hitting my 8.
That far?
165 consistently.
Okay. So, and Chris, you basically just at the tail end of the year and even into the beginning of this year, you kind of redid your whole golf bag.
Redid the whole golf bag with the exception of the two wedges and the putter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm still debating the putter. So, but we'll see. So I went with a totally, well, I've been playing with $10 drivers that I've either bought off Travis or some drunk guy at the course with a park full of clubs. So.
Yeah, so I want to say that you were playing the Nike Sasquatch or something.
I was playing the Sasquatch until about 2 seasons ago.
Wow.
Showed up with like literally a car full of clubs, and I bought a driver off them for $20.
That's awesome.
You know, and I played that. And I didn't hit it bad.
No, and that I actually thought when you were playing that Callaway.
It's the X.
The Callaway X.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you played pretty good with that, and that was a $10 club.
Yeah, I mean, I played with the Vapor that I bought.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the Nike Vapor.
You know,
Red thing.
I played that, and I was hitting that okay, but then when I went to that Callaway, I started hitting, I was more consistent. Let's
right.
Put it that way. And my draw was more consistent with that club.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've switched up to a Titleist T2, or no, T3.
Right.
Which was last year's model. This year it's like, what, the TSI?
Yeah.
You know, things like that, which... You know, I don't think there's...
Yeah, they won $650 for that bad boy.
I got that driver, and then I have I'm purchasing a 3-wood from you,
mm-hmm.
which is the 3-wood, which that you never could, for some reason, never hit.
Yeah, that would be the Callaway Rogue 3-wood.
So I'm hitting the poop out of that.
Yeah, it is.
And then I have a hybrid.
Also Titleist.
Also Titleist. That's a T2. And then I went ahead and got all brand new irons. This is going to be fun.
So Chris has been playing, as long as I've known you, which is 6 years, has been playing the Nike Slingshot irons circa 1998, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're
98, 99.
Seemed like they were one of the original Nike, when Nike first came out with their iron or their golf line of clubs. I think it was their first... player improvement iron.
Right.
If I remember right.
Right. I think you're right.
So I'm really glad you upgraded.
Well,
like,
I've only hit these yesterday, and I haven't hit all of them yet. You know, I hit some under the net, you know, a few weeks ago. I like the feel of them, but I'm not going to know anything because you know.
Until we get on grass and you're actually seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, in here is one thing where we're hitting off of good mats mm-hmm. with a launch monitor. We have all that kind of stuff, but it's not the same. As hitting, you know, on grass.
Right.
So the good thing for us is we actually have this to be able to do this in here in Illinois where we're, you know, hamstrung by the weather, especially right now. But so I'll go in. You're all the way down through your wedges.
So I've got 5 through wedge irons plus a gap wedge. And then I've got a 56 and a 60.
Which you never actually had a gap wedge in your other set. You have 50. You have a 48 and then a 52, I think, and then
54 and 58.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's 56.
Is it 56?
56 and a 60.
Yeah.
So you never had that real gap wedge in your other set,
yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, that's one of your yardage gap fillers.
Well, that was what we kind of saw yesterday.
Right.
That all of a sudden, if there was one iron I hit well yesterday, it was the gap wedge.
And that's where Travis is actually looking to fill a gap with the gapper. Go figure. So. My set is Callaway, Apex, Pro combo set. For my irons, I have my Cleveland TA 900s from that I probably bought in 96, 97, was a 54 and a 60. I have a Cleveland putter, the California Classic Edition, with a big old fat grip. I have a Mizuno High Fly driving iron, and I just added a TaylorMade 5-wood that I may have just taken out of Travis's bag, so it's an inch long, but I was hitting it pretty good yesterday. And then for the driver, I play the Callaway Epic. So for me, I'm pretty much top to bottom Callaway minus the Mizuno and the 3-wood and the putter. Travis is pretty much TaylorMade all the way through, and Chris is pretty much Titleist all the way through. So our allegiances are wide. Yeah. You know, it's a broad scope.
And typical of hack golfers is we look for a club that fits, and if we can throw in the bag.
Yep, there it goes. Yep, there it goes.
God, it's going in the bag.
So when we were, you know, I might do some tweaking on the shafts in my irons, because when I ordered these irons, I ordered the Smoke Pro Combo. They sent them to me, and they sent them to me with Smoke shafts that were regular flex, which I'm not a big fan of. But at that point, I'd already sold my M2 Tours. So I'm like, well, I guess I got to play them. So I'm not sure if I'm going to change that before the end of the year or before the beginning of the season, or if I'm going to do some other tweaks. But that's the set that we currently have, all of us going forward. And during this kind of researching clubs and equipment, I came across this thing that I'd never heard of before. And it's called the Maltby Playability Factor. And I was assuming it was Roger Maltby, but I don't know that. And a lot of different golf manufacturers reference this, the Maltby Playability Factor, which here's just a little blurb that they put in here. First and foremost, the playability factor should be recognized as a guide to either selecting or understanding why a golf iron plays the way that it does. And then they have a whole bunch of crap associated with it. But what they do is they give different ratings for the playability. So they assign a number to it. And here's an ultra game improvement. The number would be 851 and up. A super game improvement, 701 to 850. Game improvement, 551 to 700. Conventional, 401 to 550. And they kind of say what golfer it should be targeted. And then they have a classic, which is 251 to 400. The player classic, 0 to 250. Not recommended for anyone, it says on here. So what I did is I went through and looked up where our individual irons would be. Hold on just a second here. So let's start with Travis. Okay, got your Sim Maxes, and it goes through the brand, the head weight, loft of the typical 6-iron on it, and then the the Maltby playability factor on yours is 834. So, like I said, that puts you in the super game improvement category.
Big baller.
Yeah, at least you didn't get the oversized. Like, and they look like you're carrying around shovels. Bazinga. So, and let's go, Chris, you're the T300. It's got all the head weight, the loft on your 6-iron is 26 degrees. The playability factor on yours is 895.
Nice.
Which is, what was yours? Like, it was above 850, mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah, so it actually, your iron should be more forgiving than his.
Yeah.
The playability factor is higher.
Which means I'm going to be beating your ass all summer long.
All right, so then we get to mine.
Oh, boy. This had to be good. Wait, let's let Travis and I guess. Let's go less than 700.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to say less than 700.
Yeah, because we actually, I don't want to say we did a size comparison, because that's weird.
Whoa, hey.
But we took our clubs, and Travis's 8-iron next to my 8-iron, your 8-iron next to mine iron. It's clearly a different type of club. So here with the 6-iron, the loft is much more on mine than they are on yours. The playability factor, 460.
Ouch, Jesus.
Yeah. So, right? That's kind of what I'm thinking. Those Mizuno JPX 900 hot metals are calling my name, I think. Is what I say that was 560?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm right at the edge of the conventional, which is recommended for a 0 to 14 handicap, and the game improvement. It's like right on the number. Hits. Here's the what they give for the game improvement. You should play a playability factor from 551 to 700. All players would benefit. Here's the description they give. Hit the ball straight, fairly solid on off-center hits with little distance loss, heel to toe, soul weighting, and some muscle back design. Popular with tournament pros. The conventional, which is where I'm at, 0 to 14 handicap should be considered a minimum popular iron design category for tournament pros. Travis, you want me to... Oh, okay, so the super game improvement. More consistency, best distance, mostly lower center of gravity, heel to toe low, soul weighting, becoming more popular with tournament pros in their long irons.
Yeah, right.
And then the same thing with the ultra game improvement. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just thought that rating, I'd never heard of it before.
Well, it makes you think about your game now a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, it makes me feel good about my purchase.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, Travis, it should make you feel good about your purchase.
Yeah.
But it's going to make Bill think about his...
He's going to buy me clothes.
I'm thinking, you know what?
I've been thinking about it since I found this, actually.
We're going to get done here. We're going to play our nine holes of golf, and he's going to go in and start kissing ass.
I know, exactly. That's exactly where he's going. He's going to start buttering up the misses.
Yeah.
I'll say she's big into photography, so apparently there's a new lens that she wants. So it's there's might be some.
So you're going to use the trade-off thing.
Oh, yeah, I am,
totally
for sure.
Take advantage of that.
For sure. Man. Now, here's what I'm thinking is like, so I'm not, I don't hit those bad.
No.
So not. if I go to a, I don't want to go to a super game improvement. I don't know if I'd be able to look myself in the mirror.
I can look myself in the mirror.
Dude, joke.
I can look in the mirror just fine.
Like, I just. I do like the way the JPX 900s or 919s. I don't know if I could go the full hot metal round, you know, but maybe one of that line would work for me. Or do
You've
I just?
Stared at those for a while.
I have been.
Did you look at the playability of those?
They're along the line. They're a little bit less than what Travis's is.
Okay.
So they're in that 750 range.
So then you feel like you have a little bit of pride left.
Maybe only if the top line looks good. Like I'm so visual when it comes to. Like Travis's irons, I could not. Your slingshots, if I was to look down at that, I'd might puke.
Yeah.
It's just such a thick top line. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, my driving iron, that's a huge top line thing on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thick.
That's like a club.
Right. That's like, it's somewhere between a driving iron and a three wood. Like it's that really hybrid look, but still in an iron form.
Right.
So I don't know. It gives me something to think about. So,
but again, you don't hit your irons badly.
No, I don't.
That's the thing. I mean, you don't hit them badly.
No, but it would be nice to, you know, get that distance back. Like,
yeah,
those compared to my M2 Tours, which were slightly above what those are, but the distance was way different.
Yeah.
I mean, which makes sense for, you know, the way that those clubs were built. So, I just thought that was kind of interesting that there is a thing that. So check that out. It's RalphMulpey.com is where this comes from, but it gives a numerical value to any of the golf clubs, and you can go through and find, you know, clubs that were manufactured several years ago, all the way up through current, and it kind of gives you that range. Hey, where should I be?
Right.
And it might give you a better idea to where to look for the golf clubs or the irons that suit your game. Maybe it'll narrow that window down to you or for you to a good four or five. Because looking at them online, okay, great. Or, you know, a YouTube review, okay, great. But until you see them, you may not know where they fit in your style of play. And I thought that was beneficial.
Right.
So anyway, up for our next show will be the Sony Open. We'll try to get that one out later this week. I already know who won that. But so we're going to probably play Wailea today?
We're going to play nine, right?
Yeah. You guys want to play nine at Wailea?
Okay.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
All right. Rock on. See ya.
So one of my security guards, I said, hey, why don't you go down and talk to Nick and ask him why Lopez's door, why Lopez's knob is the shiniest in the building.
Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts. We are finally back into 2021 after a slight holiday break, a little bit of a COVID scare with the group, but we are officially back to kick it off, and we're going to lead off with talking about the Century that was played at Kapalua, and then we're going to get into what's in the bag. Season 2. Ooh, that's nice. Season 2. All right. All right, I think we're ready.
Here's now. Do it.
Yep. Hey, I'm William Starcevich, and I'm joined today by the usual characters.
Travis White. Chris Lopez.
All right. So the Century Championship at Kapalua is actually called the Tournament of Champions, right? So it basically every year, anybody who wins a PGA event throughout the season gets an invite. This year was a little bit different because of the COVID. So there was a group of, I want to say it was 30, the top 30 in the FedEx actually got an invite to come. And that enabled Harrison English to actually win. He hadn't won in,
it's been a while.
Yeah, like 7 years or something. But he got in on that qualification and then won. Now, some people were talking about how great it was that these guys got an opportunity to play in it, and some were hating on it,
yeah.
Like because it was, it's the Tournament of Champions.
Right.
So that, and I kind of agree with it.
Right.
You know, it's another reward for winning an event because it's so hard to do.
Well, that, but they didn't have nearly.
Right. So they
they're adjusting to COVID just like everybody else.
Right. Right. But there was a lot of talk about, hey, are we going to continue this going forward? It's the winners plus if whoever's not a winner but in the top 30 of the FedEx.
Right. Well, and the other part of this proves the point that on any given day or any given week, yeah, nobody can go out and win.
Right.
Your butt hurt because this guy got in because of this, and then he wins. Well, what did you do?
Yeah, up your game.
Yeah, seriously.
Play better.
Play better.
That's one of the big things about that sets golf aside from some of the other sports.
Right.
You know, they're on a year-to-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in that top 25 guys,
right,
you know, unless you win, and then you win, that only gives you 2 years,
right,
a two-year exemption, depending on what event you won.
Right.
You know, if you won the U.S. Open or the Masters, or that gives you a 10-year exempt. That's huge for those guys.
Right.
They get to set their schedule. They don't have to plan everything. You know, some game, like there was an article that was talking about some guys are forced to play in events that they know they're not going to do well in just because they're trying to earn points/dollar bills to qualify in the top 125 for next year.
Right.
But anyway, did you watch much of the?
I didn't get to watch much of it. I mean, I saw the highlights as I always do during, don't get into it until we get, right. Masters is when I start watching golf.
Which we're actually not all that far away, man.
Not far away.
We'll be doing another Masters special.
Mm-hmm.
So, Travis, I know you watched a little bit too. You didn't get to see the final round.
No, I missed the final round.
So, it came down to a playoff.
Yep, between Harris English and, how do you pronounce
it? Joaquin.
Neiman.
Not Jokinawa or whatever you said.
Did you just pronounce it? I think I said Joaquin.
Hey, he's from Iowa. What are you going to do? Joaquin actually, the final day,
he shot
9 under
to get in the playoff.
And I don't remember what Harrison shot on the final day, but when they got to the playoff,
mm-hmm,
what they do is they go back to the tee on 18,
right,
which is, as we know yesterday, is a 144-foot drop from the tees.
Jeez.
Down to the green. And I want to say they were playing it at over 660 yards.
I did see that it was 660 on the last day.
And so in, we played it here at the ever-evolving Playing Through Golf Studio yesterday on the Skytrack, and we played it from 560, and I'll go ahead and say
that
none of us got there in two.
Yeah. No, it was not
pretty. No, so but when Joaquin hit it, he bombed his drive out there like he'd been doing all day, and then he came up short on his approach shot going for the green, and he was lucky that it cleared the hazard. It was in the rough, and he was able to chip it up, but Harrison was basically on, rolled it down, and then basically two-putted for a birdie,
yeah.
Where, you know, it wasn't...
Isn't it just disgusting, though, that they're hitting a second shot in there on a 660 hole?
Well, earlier in the week, Bryson hit an 8-iron into that hole.
Yeah.
But he was... Yeah, over 200. That one, you know, it's downhill.
Yeah.
But still, that means you had to hit your driver over four bills, man. Right? Like, it was playing 660. And, you know, I don't care if you're hitting your 8-iron 200 yards. You,
660, I'm still hitting five shots.
Yeah, I'm definitely hitting off to the right. Well, you guys ought to, I started it way right yesterday. And I just wasn't even playing for money.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of that, what did you guys think about it from... You know, what was the finisher at? The
25 under.
Mm-hmm. And they played it 1,000 yards longer than what we played it yesterday.
Right. So, by 50 strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, that was their 4-day total, but yeah. So think about that. I mean, they're averaging then, you know, 5 or 6 under a day.
Yeah,
right.
A day on that course. And we played it 1,000 yards shorter.
And I shot a 93.
Right. So think about some of those shots in. Like, we were like, all right, where do you hit it here? Where do you hit it there? And there was all this slope from 1,000 yards closer.
Right.
And
of course, we're playing it, not seeing what they're seeing. I mean, we've got a screen and everything, but it doesn't do it all the judge. Because we were, like, there was the shot of Travis's where he was trying to hit up a hill, and we couldn't figure out why he couldn't get it up.
Right. Yeah, kept hitting in the side of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have the trade winds, too, and they typically set it up for the trade winds. That's why... The finishing hole is 660.
Yeah.
It's downhill, but you typically have the trade wind helping too.
Right.
So we had it set at zero wind, but that's why another reason those guys are hitting at 400 plus they're,
right.
I don't know, this just in, they're good.
Yeah.
You know,
well, didn't Bryson hit a 413 drive?
Yeah. That's the one that DJ on number 12, he'd driven that green several times.
Is that the one that he almost pulled out a few years ago?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The year, I want to say the year he won. So, in the top 10, there was some big names.
Justin Thomas finished third, 24 under. Mm-hmm. Ryan Palmer, Xander Schauffele.
Ryan Palmer, I don't think he hadn't won. I think he was in on that exemption too.
Yep.
A little bit of an older guy, but he played really, really well.
DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Morikawa.
Morikawa, good for him.
Yep. 20, they were all 20 under.
Good for him. So. Yeah, right? Like, and the more times he sees these courses, the better he's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, JT had won. I don't think, did JT win it last year or the year before?
The year before.
JT is, he's very familiar with that course. He usually plays really well there. Well, this year, he missed a makeable putt. And Hot Mike caught him using a little bit of a, disparaging mark. How do you want to? It wasn't good.
It was not good
what
he said.
No.
And as a matter of fact, he lost one of his sponsorships from it.
Right.
And you know, I don't think that he. It's hard to say what he believes, how he thinks about other people, but hot mics are hot mics.
Yeah, well, the other thing is the term that he used is a term that traditionally, I mean, it's right or wrong. Kids use it, you know, not as a slight against a particular community, but what you call yourself. You know? And so it's like, well, I mean, my classic is I'm just fat. You know, like if I hit a shot, that's fat. You know, but he uses another F word.
Yeah.
In a different, you know, and the context is, you know, is just not right there.
Well, I mean, you guys have told me, or you guys have heard me call myself, you know, what you may call a kitten. You know, a cat. Like I've told myself that a lot, right? When I come up short, I'm like, so. It was unfortunate again that the hot mic got him.
Right.
I'm sure he'll come back from it. He was a young kid and everything.
I think he did a good job of apologizing
right away. He owned it right away.
He owned it.
And there was a lot of talk. You remember he was one of the hosts when they had the event with Tiger and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Phil. And they were talking of careers over. He will definitely be in a booth.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is great. Now, I think he's got a long, long playing career.
He'll be playing for a while.
Yeah.
but the fact that he got caught up in that, that sucks. Because remember, it was several years ago on the Golf Channel when one of their broadcasters used the term, "I'm sure some of these guys would like to lynch Tiger."
Right.
And she didn't mean it that way. But it's just that he was so much better than all of them, and she said that, and that was, like, huge.
Well, look, go back even farther. Go Fuzzy Zeller talking about Tiger. And
yeah, except the difference is, I think Fuzzy Zeller meant that shit.
Yeah, I think he meant that.
Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Come on. Mm-hmm. So I was so happy that golf is back. It was a little unfortunate for JT. It was good to watch. There was just a little bit of drama with it because of JT's comments. Some of the guys not thinking that those non-champions should have been in, even though this was a different year.
Yeah, right.
Like, otherwise you would have had a field of, what, 12?
Right.
Right? Like, right? So, yeah, bring in those other guys.
Well, it wouldn't even be 12 because DJ won a couple times.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
10 guys look like.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I think he'll recover from it. I mean, the fact that he owned it right off the bat, I think, is huge for him. You know, he'll lose a few sponsors. Who hasn't lost a sponsor?
Oh, yeah.
Tiger lost how many sponsors after his fiasco?
Yeah. No, he had to give his cars back.
Yeah.
I mean, Buick's out, bro.
You know, and, you know, it's just a matter of time or he has a major victory. I think all will be forgotten.
I think so, too.
I think the fact that he owned it, if he had tried to avoid it and say, oh, you know, no big deal, you know, things like that, or tried to poo-poo it, they'd hang him, you know, big time. But this is,
yeah.
This is the case where he owned it.
Now, you know, back in the day, the broadcasters wouldn't have even brought it up to him.
Right.
But, you know, you saw the interview at the end. He's standing there, and they brought it up to him right then. I don't know. I'm assuming that he gave them the go-ahead for that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, yeah, like they ask first before they're like, hey, we're going to bring this up. Is that cool?
Yeah.
It's not like they're trying to, you know, guerrilla tactic him, you know.
Sure. Somebody
brought it up to him for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was great to have golf back. You know, it was really cool for us to be able to play that course here.
Mm-hmm.
Where yes, Travis won by one.
Yeah.
Chris, in his defense, he broke out new golf clubs. We hadn't been able to play for a couple weeks because of our COVID scare.
Got sick.
So.
I really didn't get sick.
Well.
Can you taste yet?
Oh, a little bit.
Okay, perfect.
Okay,
so. Here, put this in your mouth. Tell me what it tastes like.
Yeah,
right. So that's going to take us into the next thing here. Going into this season, Chris just got some new clubs. Travis has had new clubs for less than a full season.
Yes.
Like, I think it was the end of this year. So, and then my set is basically where it's going to be. But I kind of wanted to get into what you guys are playing. So, Travis, you want to start? Like, tell them from, let's go driver down, kind of just briefly describe your bag.
My driver, I was TaylorMade Sim Max, my driver 3-wood.
Do you actually use the driver?
Well, not in here.
Not very often in here.
Not very often. I'm
afraid of it. Well, Travis is 6'6", so
yeah.
Unless I put a skylight in, he's...
I just bought a... Gapper.
Yep, Gapper. That hasn't come in yet. A Gapper 3. Or the mid, which is a little bit more of an iron shape. There's the low, which is definitely an iron. And then there's the high, which is almost a utility club hybrid look.
I bought the mid. And then I have my 4 hybrid. It's an TaylorMade M2 hybrid.
Yeah, okay, so we're into... I want to say there's at least 5 head covers over there so far.
Not.
Okay.
Hi,
my name's Travis.
My hybrid is an M2, and then 6 iron down to my A wedge, which I'm in Sims. And then I have a 58 and a 54 degree new TaylorMade wedge.
So, and then I think you have an Odyssey putter, right?
Odyssey whiteout putter.
Okay, so you are TaylorMade pretty much top to bottom. Right? Okay, so, and I know you got those, you know, towards the tail end of the season last year.
Yeah.
And I know you were playing TaylorMade before, too, but they were
10 years old.
So
I bought them off eBay for like $200.
Nice. So what did you, your first take on those so far this, for this last 6 months?
I really like the feel of them. Now when I hit a golf ball with my old set, my hands would rattle and whatnot.
If you didn't hit them square?
These ones, if I miss it a little bit, and it's not.
And they still go forever.
Yeah,
like your 8-iron is.
Yesterday was in the 170.
Right, and your 6-iron is over 200 yards. So they are long.
They are.
Especially, you're a longer hitter anyway, but even compared to your other irons, these are longer.
My old set, I probably couldn't even hit a 6-iron 180 yards.
Okay.
Now I'm hitting my 8.
That far?
165 consistently.
Okay. So, and Chris, you basically just at the tail end of the year and even into the beginning of this year, you kind of redid your whole golf bag.
Redid the whole golf bag with the exception of the two wedges and the putter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm still debating the putter. So, but we'll see. So I went with a totally, well, I've been playing with $10 drivers that I've either bought off Travis or a drunk guy, of course, with a park full of clubs. So.
Yeah, so I want to say that you were playing the Nike Sasquatch or something.
I was playing the Sasquatch until about 2 seasons ago.
Wow.
Showed up with like literally a car full of clubs, and I bought a driver off them for $20.
That's awesome.
You know, and I played that. And I didn't hit it bad.
No, and that I actually thought when you were playing that Callaway.
It's the X.
The Callaway X.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you played pretty good with that, and that was a $10 club.
Yeah, I mean, I played with the Vapor that I bought.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the Nike Vapor.
You know,
red thing.
I played that, and I was hitting that okay, but then when I went to that Callaway, I started hitting. I was more consistent. Let's
right.
That way. And my draw was more consistent with that club.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, getting. So now I've switched up to a Titleist T2, or no, T3.
Right.
Which was last year's model. This year it's like, what, the TSI?
Yeah.
You know, things like that, which. You know, I don't think there's...
Yeah, they won 650 for that bad boy.
I got that driver, and then I have I'm purchasing a 3-wood from you,
mm-hmm.
which is the 3-wood, which that you never could, for some reason, never hit.
Yeah, that would be the Callaway Rogue 3-wood.
So I'm hitting the poop out of that.
Yeah, it is.
And then I have a hybrid.
Also Titleist.
Also Titleist. That's a T2. And then I went ahead and got all brand new irons. This is going to be fun.
So Chris has been playing, as long as I've known you, which is 6 years, has been playing the Nike Slingshot irons circa 1998, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're
98, 99.
Seemed like they were one of the original Nike, when Nike first came out with their iron or their golf line of clubs. I think it was their first player improvement iron.
Right.
If I remember right.
Right. I think you're right.
So I'm really glad you upgraded.
Well,
like,
I've only hit these yesterday, and I haven't hit all of them yet. You know, I hit some under the net, you know, a few weeks ago. I like the feel of them, but I'm not going to know anything because, you know.
Until we get on grass and you're actually seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, in here is one thing where we're hitting off of good mats mm-hmm. with a launch monitor. We have all that kind of stuff, but it's not the same. As hitting, you know, on grass.
Right.
So the good thing for us is we actually have this to be able to do this in here in Illinois where we're, you know, hamstrung by the weather, especially right now. But so I'll go in. You're all the way down through your wedges.
So I've got 5 through wedge irons plus a gap wedge. And then I've got I've got a 56 and a 60.
Which you never actually had a gap wedge in your other set. You have 50. You have a 48 and then a 52, I think, and then
54 and 58.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's 56.
Is it 56?
56 and a 60.
Yeah.
So you never had that real gap wedge in your other set,
yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, that's one of your yardage gap fillers.
Well, that was what we kind of saw yesterday.
Right.
That all of a sudden, if there was one iron I hit well yesterday, it was the gap wedge. Yeah.
And that's where Travis is actually looking to fill a gap with the gapper. Go figure.
Yep.
So. My set is Callaway, Apex, Pro combo set. For my irons, I have my Cleveland TA 900s that I probably bought in 96, 97, was a 54 and a 60. I have a Cleveland putter, the California Classic Edition, with a big old fat grip. I have a Mizuno High Fly driving iron, and I just added a TaylorMade 5-wood that I may have just taken out of Travis's bag, so it's an inch long, but I was hitting it pretty good yesterday. And then for the driver, I play the Callaway Epic. So for me, I'm pretty much top to bottom Callaway minus the Mizuno and the 3-wood and the putter. Travis is pretty much TaylorMade all the way through, and Chris is pretty much Titleist all the way through. So our allegiances are wide. Yes. Yeah. You know, it's a broad scope.
Well, in typical hack golfers is we look for a club that fits, and if we can throw in the bag.
Yep, there it goes. Yep. There it goes.
God, it's going in the bag.
So when we were, you know, there's I might do some tweaking on the shafts in my irons, because when I ordered these irons, I ordered the Smoke Pro Combo. They sent them to me, and they sent them to me with smoke shafts that were regular flex, which I'm not a big fan of. But at that point, I'd already sold my M2 Tours. So I'm like, well, I guess I got to play them. So I'm not sure if I'm going to change that before the end of the year or before the beginning of the season, or if I'm going to do some other tweaks. But that's the set that we currently have, all of us going forward. And during this kind of researching clubs and equipment, I came across this thing that I'd never heard of before, and it's called the Maltby Playability Factor. And I was assuming it was Roger Maltby, but I don't know that. And a lot of different golf manufacturers reference this, the Maltby Playability Factor. But here's just a little blurb that they put in here. First and foremost, the playability factor should be recognized as a guide to either selecting or understanding why a golf iron plays the way that it does. And then they have a whole bunch of crap associated with it. But what they do is they give different ratings for the playability. So they assign a number to it. And here's an ultra game improvement. The number would be 851 and up. A super game improvement, 701 to 850. Game improvement, 551 to 700. Conventional, 401 to 550. And they kind of say what golfer it should be targeted. And then they have a classic, which is 251 to 400. The player classic, 0 to 250. Not recommended for anyone, it says on here. So what I did is I went through and looked up where our individual irons would be. Hold on just a second here. So let's start with Travis. Okay, got your Sim Maxes, and it goes through the brand, the head weight, loft of the typical 6-iron on it, and then the the Maltby playability factor on yours is 834. So, like I said, that puts you in the super game improvement category.
Big baller.
Yeah, at least you didn't get the oversized. Like, and they look like you're carrying around shovels. Bazinga. So, and let's go, Chris. You're the T300. It's got all the head weight, the loft on your 6-iron is 26 degrees. The playability factor on yours is 895.
Nice.
Which is, what was yours? Like, it was above 850, mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah, so it actually, your iron should be more forgiving than his.
Yeah.
The playability factor is higher.
Which means I'm going to be beating your ass all summer long.
All right, so then we get to mine.
Oh, this had to be good. Wait, let's let Trav and I guess. Let's go less than 700.
Oh, yeah,
we're
definitely going to say less than 700.
Yeah, because I don't want to say we did a size comparison, because that's weird.
Whoa, hey.
But we took our clubs, and Travis's 8-iron next to my 8-iron, your 8-iron next to mine 9-iron. It's clearly a different type of club. So here with the 6-iron, the loft is much more on mine than they are on yours. The playability factor, 460.
Ouch, Jesus.
Yeah. So, right? That's kind of what I'm thinking. Those Mizuno JPX 900 hot metals are calling my name, I think. Is what I say that was 560?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm right at the edge of the conventional, which is recommended for a 0 to 14 handicap, and the game improvement. It's like right on the number. Here's what they give for the game improvement. You should play a playability factor from 551 to 700. All players would benefit. Here's the description they give. Hit the ball straight, fairly solid on off-center hits with little distance loss, heel to toe, soul weighting, and some muscle back design. Popular with tournament pros. The conventional, which is where I'm at, 0 to 14 handicap, should be considered a minimum popular iron design category for tournament pros. Travis, you want me to... Oh, okay, so the super game improvement. More consistency, best distance, mostly lower center of gravity, heel to toe low, soul weighting. Becoming more popular with tournament pros in their long irons. And then the same thing with the ultra game improvement. Anyway, I just thought that rating, I'd never heard of it before.
Well, it makes you think about your game now a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, it makes me feel good about my purchase.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, Travis, it should make you feel good about your purchase.
Yeah.
But it's going to make Bill think about his...
He's going to buy me clothes.
That's what I'm calling. I'm thinking, you know what?
I've been thinking about it since I found this, actually.
No, exactly. That's exactly where
he's
going. He's
going to
start buttering up the
missus. Yeah. I'll say she's big into photography, so apparently there's a new lens that she wants. So it's there might be some.
So you're going to use the trade-off thing.
Oh yeah, I am totally for sure.
Take advantage of that.
For sure. Man. Now here's what I'm thinking is like, so I'm not. I don't hit those bad.
No.
So not. If I go to a, I don't want to go to a super game improvement. I don't know if I'd be able to look myself in the mirror.
I can look myself in the mirror.
Joke.
I can look in the mirror just fine.
I do like the way the JPX 900s or 919s. I don't know if I could go the full hot metal round, you know, but maybe one of that line would work for me. Or do
You've
I just?
Stared at those for a while.
Look, I have been.
Did you look at the playability of those?
They're along the line. They're a little bit less than what Travis's is.
Okay.
So they're in that 750 range.
So then
maybe only if the top line looks good. Like I'm so visual when it comes to like Travis's irons. I could not your slingshots. Mm-hmm. If I was to look down at that, I'd might puke.
Yeah.
It's just such a thick top line. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, my driving iron, that's a huge top line thing on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thick,
that's like a club.
Right. That's like, it's somewhere between a driving iron and a three wood. Like it's that really hybrid look. But still in an iron form. So, I don't know. It gives me something to think about.
Absolutely.
So.
But again, you don't hit your irons badly.
No, I don't.
That's the thing. I mean, you don't hit them badly.
No, but it would be nice to, you know, get that distance back. Like, those compared to my M2 Tours, which were slightly above what those are, but the distance was way different.
Yeah.
I mean, which makes sense for, you know, the way that those clubs were built. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting that there is a thing that, so check that out. It's RalphMulpey.com is where this comes from, but it gives a numerical value to any of the golf clubs, and you can go through and find, you know, clubs that were manufactured several years ago, all the way up through current, and it kind of gives you that range. Hey, where should I be?
Right.
And it might give you a better idea to where to look for the golf clubs or the irons that suit your game. Maybe it'll narrow that window down to you or for you to a good 4 or 5. Because
yep.
Looking at them online, okay, great. Or, you know, a YouTube review, okay, great. But until you see them, you may not know where they fit in your style of play. And I thought that was beneficial.
Right.
So anyway, up for our next show will be the Sony Open. We'll try to get that one out later this week. I already know who won that. But so we're going to probably play Wailea today?
We're going to play 9, right?
Yeah, you guys want to play 9 at Wailea?
No, whatever.
Okay. All right. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
All right, rock on. See ya.
So one of my security guards, I said, hey, why don't you go down and talk to Nick and ask him why Lopez's door, why Lopez's knob is the shiniest in the building?